We want to thank you for listening today. This audio sermon is a ministry of Faith Baptist Church, a place where you belong. Now let's listen to the message of truth from God's Word.
Isn't it exciting all that God's doing, right? These different opportunities that we have and how God is using our church and this church at the park and all these different things that are happening. And of course, missions. Anytime we get to talk about missions, that's the very heartbeat of God. And we get a chance to be able to unveil that all month, and I'm excited about that. One of the greatest privileges that a child of God has is to be involved in the local church, to be involved in a local assembly, and we get feedback all the time, continually, of people who are just amazed with what God is doing here, amazed with how they say, when we come into this place, we just feel the Spirit is here. We just love coming in, and we love worshiping, and we love getting plugged into the church, and it is a great thing to be a part of a church that's doing all of these things for the glory of God. And I hope you're excited. Even on a Wednesday night, you can be excited. Yeah, a couple of you. You can be excited. It's raining. You're stuck here, so you might as well just enjoy it, right? It is a wonderful thing. It is to be involved in what God is doing. And it's easy to, in church and even in life, to portray an image of success, isn't it? Easy to put up all of the images and all of the outside things that look like it would make us successful as a church, but it's easy to do that and there'd be no real substance underneath the surface. That's so easy for us to do, for everyone to be fooled into thinking everything's okay because we've got all this stuff and this programs and all of these different things that are happening and wonderful things that can be happening. But if we don't have the right things happening, then it's all for nothing. If we don't have the right thing happen, we can have all the symbols of success but have no guarantee of success. And that's why it is critical for us as a church. It's so very critical for us to think and to plan beyond the superficial, beyond the programming, beyond that. And when Pastor Todd was on sabbatical back in August, I did this little mini-series on groundwork going beneath the surface. And I'm bringing it back because I know that missions is something that we have to go beyond the superficial, beyond just the snowboarding or the scattering and of all the different missionaries and looking out on the wall and say, wow, look at all that we're doing. And we talk about this sometimes, and sometimes it's easy to talk about we in an abstract form of like, look what we're doing, but it's really them, or it's really what other people are. Like, how am I involved in missions? As I dig deep into your life and my life and in the church life, as we dig down deep and do some work underneath the surface, how is missions directly affecting me? How am I directly involved in the work of God? It truly is, we're talking about this theme, it truly is unfinished. It's unfinished. I've called today's message unfinished business, right? There is an unfinished business, an unfinished task that is before us. And until God takes the last breath out of you, you are to be on mission. You were made to be a missionary. God created you to be that. You might think, I'm not a missionary, but you're created for that. God wants you to be that. And you should lean into that because the very thing that you may not feel like you're qualified for, I promise you, God has equipped you for. And if you dig deep, you dig deep into His Word, I promise you, you'll find the tools that you need to be successful at this. This area of missions is unfinished, and we must establish missions below the baseline. More, it's not just building a house of cards to showcase missions, but developing deep groundwork and support of missions and the mission of Jesus Christ. And it is our great joy here at church to partner with many choice servants of God that are all over the globe, near and far, that are actively doing the work that God desires for them to do. And as we partner and send these individuals all over the globe, we must not, church, we must not neglect the ministerial care and support and prayer that these missionaries need. They need it. They've got to have it for us to do more than write them a check we have to go beyond that superficialness. We have to go beyond that and be devoted to prayer and being devoted to hospitality and loving on them and reaching out to them and encouraging them. Each Wednesday, we strive most every Wednesday to update you on different missionaries and the happenings that are happening all over the globe and how God is working. And I hope that you're taking time to write some of those things down and to pray for people, to connect with folks. And we're going to talk about how we can do that in a practical sense here in just a little bit. Why don't we go to 3 John? That's a good idea. Let's do that. You might already be there if you have some notes, but we're going to be in 3 John. You know, many of our missionaries that we support and that we work through, you know, many of them work tirelessly. I don't think you can quite understand, many of you may be able to, and some of you have been here, to understand the fight and the struggle and the journey that it is for them just to be able to raise support to get to the field that God would have for them to go to. I mean, the 2 years, 3 years, many times traveling from church to church and living from hotel to hotel room and in people's homes and the conversations they have to have. And it finally comes, and I have friends of mine that are finally realizing the field that God wants them to be, and they're finally there, and they think, wow, what an amazing thing. And you realize once you get there that the work's still unfinished. There's still so much more to do. There's still so much beyond the raise and support. There's still so much beyond that God would have for them to do. And when we as a church get them to the field, our duty, our job is unfinished as well. We can't just allow it to be a distant memory in our mind of that one person we support or that family. We must dig below the surface to have an effective supporting agency, for us to have a supporting missions agency here. 3 John, as we're going to look at here, was written as a result of a missions report, right? You believe that? As a missions report is how this letter actually became to be penned by the Apostle John himself. It's a fascinating little letter, and it's a wonderful little letter. There's so much truth here. It's a wonderful thing that we could talk about for a long time, but we're going to really look at all 14 verses here in just a moment. The backstory behind this is that John had sent missionaries, had sent some preachers, sent some folks to a community, and as he sent them to that community, they were severely mistreated. They were there was an influential member of the church there who spoke out against the Apostle John, directly opposed all that John wanted to do, didn't want to comply with John, didn't want to listen to John, and those that did listen to John, he kicked them out of the church. It's all here, you'll see here in just a moment, but this created a crisis in the church until a godly man came along and decided that he wasn't going to let that stand, and he was going to take care of these missionaries. He was going to provide for them, and he was going to help them, and he was going to encourage them. You know, it's important to understand that during these days, traveling missionaries and teachers of the day were very dependent upon support and very dependent upon people to take care of them. Much like today, missionaries come and people travel and they go from church to church and they speak, and evangelists and pastors and missionaries, they're dependent upon that. But recipients of these missionaries, these folks that had to take them in, the guy's name who took care of them was Gaius, and Gaius took time to be hospitable. He took time to reach out to these folks, to be kind, and as a result of the issue that happened of these guys, this one particular guy attacking these missionaries and this other guy being so very hospitable, John writes this really tender note, this really tender little book of 3 John. And so we're going to look at it. Are you ready? Yes. All right, you sound like you're ready. You're excited, I can tell. 3 John, the Apostle John, he writes this. This is just a tender letter. Look at this, verse number 1. The elder, John speaking of himself here, unto the well-beloved Gaius, whom I love in the truth. You just hear the tenderness. I mean, he doesn't address him as apostle. He doesn't address him with all these formal titles. He just says, this person whom I loved, you're my well-beloved friend. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. For I rejoiced greatly. this letter he's written straight to Gaius, when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee, even as thou walketh in the truth. He said, these guys came and I was so rejoiced in what you did, Gaius. I'm so rejoiced. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Now, this must have been some type of convert or a disciplee. This must have been somebody that he had worked with and he knew. And he says, I have no greater joy than to see that you're doing the very thing that I've instructed you to do, the very ways that I've discipled you. This is what you're doing. And here's the report here in verse number 5. He says, beloved, thou doest faithfully whatsoever thou dost to the brethren and to strangers who have borne witness of thy charity and love for the church, whom if thou bring forward on their journey after a godly sort, shalt do well, because that for his name's sake they went forth taking nothing of the Gentiles. Wherefore, or we therefore ought to receive such, receive these folks that had come, these missionaries, that we might be fellow helpers to the truth. And then here's the troublemaker here in verse number 9. He says, I wrote unto the church, but Diotrephes, who loveth to have the preeminence among them, receiveth us not. Wherefore, if I come, I will remember his deeds, which he doth prating against us with malicious words, and not content therewith, neither doth he receive the brethren, and forbiddeth them that they would, and casteth them out of the church. He gives this warning here, this beloved, follow not that which is evil, but that which is good. And he that doeth good is of God, and he that doeth evil hath not seen God. At the very heart of this letter, at the very heart of what is being communicated here, is the way that this particular Diotrephes, how he was taking care or not taking care of missionaries, of what this church was doing or not doing for the missionaries that John had sent his way. And so we're going to look at, first of all, who the letter is written to, and look at the positive of what happened here with this particular fellow who took in these missionaries that John had sent. And so if you're taking notes, we'll look at Roman number 1, the impact of a devout believer. The impact that this believer had. Whatever the frustration was with the apostle John, whatever it was he was having about these missionaries and these traveling pastors, he didn't have this problem with Gaius. This particular guy was an encouragement to John. He talked about him, saying he talked about him in a very beloved sense, using the word beloved 4 different times, speaking to him in a very tender way, letting him know that he was praying for him, that he wanted him to prosper, that he wanted him to help in the work of God. And I'm not sure how else to say it, but as you read through this and look at it, Gaius was the kind of guy that you wanted on your team, the guy you wanted on your bus, right? The guy who supported you, the guy who helped you, the guy who made sure you had what you needed, the guy that would come up and help to secure, help to undergird you. He had a burden for helping the work of God and helping the people of God. This is what Gaius wanted. His heart was to serve people and to help them. But no, that didn't come, I want you to notice here, that didn't come just in the flesh. It didn't come on the superficial. It didn't come on the outside. It was out of something that was deep down within inside of him. There was something deep inside of him that causes a deep personal spiritual life. Nothing superficial, but something out of the outflow of who he was and the love that he had for God and the love he had for the things of God. And we see that in verse number 2. The scripture talks about here that he was thriving spiritually. You see this happening as we read verse number 2. He wasn't exactly thriving physically, but he was thriving spiritually. And if you got to pick an area to thrive in, that's the area to thrive in, because this sucker here, I mean, this body is going to die. It's going to not last. But spiritually, the treasures that we are to be laying up in heaven, to be thriving spiritually is by far the best choice if we have to choose between the two. He said, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in good health, even as thy soul prospereth. I mean, he makes it very plain that he wants Gaius to prosper, and he obviously is a man of means. He not only wants him to prosper financially, but he wants him to prosper in health. And I don't know, and different people are speculated, whether he was just someone that was in poor health or if he was just getting over a sickness. But whichever one that is doesn't really matter, as you look and see primarily what he's known at in verse number 2, as thy soul prospereth. As you are spiritually healthy, I hope that you would be able to thrive physically as much as you're thriving spiritually. I wonder if that were true of you. Would you want to be thriving physically as much as you're thriving spiritually? Spiritually, he was thriving, physically struggling. I mean, a lot of people, I mean, we've all been here. Let's just not try to put up the pretentious mask. All been here where we've been okay physically, but very poor spiritually. This guy, Gaius, he was thriving spiritually. He was a man of God. He was a man that loved God, and a man that loved God's people, and a man that was willing to be used to help other people to do the work of God. He not only was thriving spiritually, but he was living authentically. The very way, he said, I have no greater joy than to know that my children walk in truth. Gaius, you were living this way. You are living in such a way that I have instructed you. You're living in such a way that I have taught you. I have no greater joy than that my children walk in truth, this convert. His daily life was a reflection of the fact that he lived in accordance with the truth of the Word of God. And the missionaries John sent returned and said, man, that Gaius guy, man, that guy, what a blessing he was, living a godly and consistent life. Just consistent. You ever meet somebody and you're just like, man, they just love the Lord. I just love being around them. It's unbelievable. That's just amazing. I love being around him. He's helped me. He's encouraged me. It's a wonderful thing. This is the kind of guy he was. It just came out of him. It's the way he was. It's the way that he lived. You know, men in that day, those that traveled around doing missionary work, as I said earlier, they were dependent a lot, much more so than we are today, on the hospitableness, is that a word? Hospitableness of other people. They were dependent upon that. There was no Hilton Inn, there was no Ramada, whatever. There wasn't anything like that. They didn't have anything. The hotels that were around then, I mean, it would be some dirty roach motel, some place of wickedness and ill repute. It wasn't a place that a man of God would go to. It wasn't a place that was filthy and nasty and a place where much wickedness often had. And so the preacher, as he traveled around, the missionary, as he traveled around, had no other choice but to rely upon the generosity of other people to help them. This was the custom of the day. And Gaius lived in such a way that his door was always open. His life was transparent. You can come stay with us anytime, boys. I mean, my life's an open book. I love the Lord, and if you love the Lord, you got a place to stay here with me, and I'll find a way to get you some food. I'll find a way to take care of you. This is what he did. And those that were in the teaching ministry in the early church, they would have found Gaius's home. They would have found it to be a place. Man, that guy is just, he loves the Lord. He's living authentically. His life is just open. And he was always open to receiving people. Now, we ought to know, and it bears being said, that when you live life like that, it's not free. It has a cost. It has a cost to opening up your home. It has a cost to supporting missionaries. It has a cost to taking care of God's people. There's a cost involved. And so I want you to notice this, that he was giving faithfully, continually giving and giving and giving. These men had come back to John, who was possibly in the church at Ephesus, most likely, as he was back there at this church of Ephesus. They came back and reported on what was happening. And they're like, man, this Gaius guy, I mean, his love and generosity, John, that guy did so much for us. We didn't even have to take one penny from the Gentiles. I mean, he footed the whole bill. He paid for everything. Took care of it. Took us in. Gave us some extra cash. Gave us some coin. Just took care of us and lavished on us. He generously financed their trip. And the businessman that he was evidently shared of his wealth so much so that he said, I want people to hear the good news of Jesus Christ, and God has blessed me, and I want to see to it that I bless God's men and I bless God's missionaries so that they can go and tell other people the good news of Jesus Christ. This is what I want. I was reading a commentary. I've gotten really enjoy this commentary. It's got a bunch of old guys with beards, right? Pastor talks about this, and guy was commentating on this, and I thought it was so great. I have it on the screens for you. It's written in some old English, but listen to this, that the way that this guy gave, I guess he doesn't have a beard, does he? Anyway, he's old, but he's got some good stuff too, right? Listen, he commentates on this guy. Listen to what he says. In this way, the way that he gave generously, Gaius was enabled to do much more, far more, in fact, in the way of preaching than if he himself had been the most eloquent of preachers. Listen to this. For by aiding many, all the folks he took care of, and helping them on their way and in their work, he was virtually speaking at the same moment by many mouths, and in the eye of God might be regarded as converting many souls in several places at the same time, when otherwise himself occupied, when engaged in a business venture, perhaps, at home in his family, asleep in his bed, at rest or on a journey, in sickness or in health, living or dead. I got to tell you, I read that, I'm like, wow, how about that? You know, if you give to Grace Giving and you're giving to people over in Africa while you're sleeping, that money is being used to tell people about Jesus Christ. Amen. You can be in bed sick. You can be in the hospital. Man, and that thing's still going on. This guy, he's like, I'm doing a business deal, but hey, it don't matter. The gospel's still going out. I'm financing these guys. I'm helping these guys. Listen, this was a guy who wanted to support the work of missions. He wanted to give, and they come back to John, and they're like, man, this joker, this guy's amazing. He was great. He gave, and he was so generous, and he was so accommodating, but that really wasn't the bit. He was genuine. He was spiritual. He was faithful. This is the outflow of who is. It wasn't this outward show. We've all know people who are outward show and name droppers and want to give things away to make themselves look good. You're like, that wasn't this guy. This guy is just, listen, I want to be able to take care of God's message. The impact of a devoted believer. It's amazing. What impact he had, we're still talking about. It's still encouraging people. It's still helping people. The money that was given, long after he's dead, his investment's still paying great dividends. His decision that he had made to dig deep into missions, to go beneath the ground, to go beneath the surface and say, you know what, I'm not going to buy another house, I'm going to invest in other people, I'm not going to just buy a storage shed to stick all my junk in that I'm not going to look at anyway, I'm going to say, you know what, God could use this, and I want to find a way to see that God's message is furthered. I wish we could just take it all positive, but this is the bulk of the book, talking to this Gaius fella, but then I want you to notice there's always one. Always a guy, there's a gal, there's always somebody, and so I want you to notice this. He doesn't hold any punches here, the indictment of a divisive leader. Now, if Gaius was a role model, then Diotrephes was just the opposite. I mean, he represented everything wrong with this church, apparently, to which John was writing, and verse 9 and 10 are like laser-guided missiles to this joke. I mean, they're just like, he just lays it out. There's no problem at all. He doesn't hold any punches. He just lays it out there, and he just talks about it. We read him just a moment ago, letter A. He was this very self-serving man, very much about himself. He says it there in that passage that he loved to have the preeminence, loved to be in the limelight, loved to be in charge, loved for people to look at him. We have this other guy who's humble and taking care of us, and this other guy who wants to run the show. He evidently was some type of leader, some type of influence. He wouldn't receive John's letter of introduction. He wouldn't receive the people that John had sent. He wouldn't listen to reason. And then people that are listening to John, he's getting rid of. He was more concerned with his position in the church than he was ministering to these missionaries and caring for them. Right and wrong just weren't as important as getting my opinion across. I don't like what John stands for, and I don't like what's happening. And he's a dictator, a boss, arrogant, a bully. This is who he was. You know anybody, the kind of guy that leads by intimidation? He just walks around bullying people. He knew a whole lot, been around for a while. He might have been one of those that said, well, that's a charter member of this church. I've been around since before you got here, John, and I'll be wrong after you. You know, I don't know. He knew it was hateful, but this was this guy. Not listening to God's messengers, not listening to the Apostle John, heckling him and making up lies about him. It's just, we're going to look at all this in a minute. It's crazy. Knows a lot, but just not filled with the Spirit. not authentic, not loving, not giving. Because even if you have a problem with somebody, that's not how you handle it. That's not how you handle when you have a problem with. That's not how it's supposed to play out at all. I love what Charles Stanley said. He said, be aware of those that know a lot but love a little. Beware. Oh, the knowledge puffs up, but if they're not practicing, they're not living authentically, mark them. Listen, that's not going to end well. If repentance doesn't come, that's not going to end well. Living that life of arrogance and dictatorship and bullying, that's not going to end where you think it should. They wouldn't receive John because of his pride. He lied about John to discredit him. So notice this, he's not only self-serving, but he was slanderous. I mean, he just attacked John, and John came right back at him. He used the word prating. It's an interesting word, suggesting speech that is senseless and disparaging. You know, just nonsense. That's what it was. Just absolutely nonsense. Diotrephes was a leader who indulged in malicious accusations against John, who did nothing but bring sound teaching, did nothing but try to help people, did nothing but try to send other missionaries and other folks to try to help them. And though his words were unfounded, they brought great dissension and confusion. And as we've seen in the news recently, it only takes an accusation to cause chaos. And that's what this guy did. Just caused chaos. He rejected John's associates and then went on further and disciplined those that disagreed with him. These brothers that received missionaries sent by John were dismissed from the church. You know, and this guy, he had neither the authority nor the biblical basis to dismiss anyone from church. And so John sends one more missionary. He sends one more person. He sends somebody to provide care, and he is the one many believe is holding this letter. A guy by the name of Demetrius. Roman numeral 3, I want you to notice the involvement of a dependable brother. This is where we're going to get intensely practical. The involvement of a dependable brother. Everyone knew that Demetrius could give a good report. Everyone knew about him. Everyone that knew about him knew could give a good report on him. I want you to look at verse number 12. He says it right here very plain. Demetrius hath good report of all men and of the truth itself. Yea, and we also bear record, and you know that our record is true. This guy had wide support among the brethren, and not just from those that liked him or those that worked with him. He had a good reputation. John, go to Gaius. Send him this letter. I want you to encourage him. I want you to encourage the church. You can trust this guy. Hey, you trusted me about Gaius. You can trust me about this guy. Proverbs 15:30 says, the light of the eyes rejoiceth the heart, and a good report maketh the bones fat. Makes you prosperous. Makes you look well. The tense John used here indicates that Demetrius had a good reputation in the past, and he had a good reputation now. And over a long period of time, he had demonstrated time-tested faith. He was a dependable brother in the Lord that he could send and say, this is a guy that you can trust. And the work of missions requires dependable people and dependable brothers like this guy. Requires dependable people like Gaius. It requires people that are willing to go the extra mile. Yeah, I'll carry that letter for you, John. I'll carry that. I got it. No problem. Hey, yeah, you can stay at my house. Oh, you need that. All right, I can pay for that. I'll take care of that. Oh, you need something to eat? I got it. I'm on it. I'll take care of it. The missionaries that we support, they need people like us and a church like us to assist them in their mission, to assist them in the call that God has on their life. Verse 8 says we ought to support people like this, that we might be fellow workers in the truth that we can be doing this together. What a wonderful thing that is, that while you're sleeping, while you're at home, and that you've given and you've sacrificed, and that the gospel's going forth in Kosovo, and it's going forth in China, and it's going forth in South America and all over the globe where we're supporting. So what can we do? How can we be a Demetrius? How can we be a Gaius? How can we be a church filled with these type of people that are not, it's not superficial. I mean, we're willing to dig deep. We're willing to be right spiritually, and we're willing to live authentically. What does that mean? What are some practical things that we can do? Letter A, we need and we must be willing to provide care for our missionaries. There's a couple of lines that are underneath each of these points. And I want to encourage you to write some things in that'll hit the screen here in just a moment. If you want to dig deep in missions, you want to accomplish some effective groundwork in your own life, in your family's life, in the way of missions, you want to continue the unfinished work of missions, if we're not careful, we do it all the time. I do it too. We do it. And we're like, well, yeah, that the work of missions is unfinished. It really is, yeah. We get an ice cream after church? Or, hang on. Hope he hurries up, because my DVR is gonna. I can watch without commercials. If he ends just a little bit, I can fast forward. Our mind goes, and I can send that email and go there. But rarely are we sitting there thinking, "This is gonna change. This is what I'm going to do in light of what I heard. This is how I am going to be a Demetrius. This is how our family is gonna be like. We're gonna be a Demetrius family. That's what we're gonna do. We're gonna be a Gaius family. This is what, and we're gonna do it this way. This is how this is going to play out. How are we going to provide care? Very practical things. Very practical things hitting the screen. But I want to encourage you to take right one down and just say, this is what we're going to do as a result of being involved in this missions emphasis. There's one thing. That's what we're going to do. There'll be other things that I'm sure you can do. But listen to this. Let's do this very quickly. Get acquainted. Get acquainted with your missionaries. Listen, they're there on the wall. We talk about it every Wednesday. Actually go get their number. Talk to them. Many of you do, by the way. I hear from our missionaries who say that our church does that. And it's a wonderful thing to do that. Get acquainted with them. You know how many of them are so lonely on the field? We'll talk to them. Pastor and I, we'll talk to them like, man, we talked to their wife, or we talked to them, and they're crying. They're like, nobody's talked to us in 2 months. Okay, I haven't talked to anybody for a while. And it's like they're so far away. And yet by way of technology, they don't have to be. You can reach out to them so very easy through all the different mediums that are available. Communicate often to them. You know, typically 3 or 4 texts or emails or just this short little messages in a week. You know, consistent little gestures of care and love are much better than one big, long, mammoth email. Just continually reach out to them. You know, one of the easiest things you can do is subscribe to their newsletters and just respond to the newsletter. 2 lines. Amazing what God's doing, praying for you. You know, we send out communication here as a church, and we talk about it. We're like, did they get it? I don't know. I have no idea. I didn't hear anything. I have no idea. How encouraging is from them? And they probably send that, and they're like, is anybody even reading those? Probably not. I don't know. But we got to do it, so let's send out them. Just reply. Love how God's using you there in Yucatan. Wonderful thing what you're doing. Love that, praying for you. What a wonderful thing to encourage them. Just something so simple. Communicate often. Send care packages. Maybe your family. You could find somebody whose missionary is the same age as your kids. Do something for them. Wonderful thing you could do. Maybe you should go visit. You know, few things mean more than showing up in person. You know, maybe the next vacation you plan should be around where a missionary is at. Spend a couple days and go see them. We have church planters here in the U.S. We have people that are abroad. We have people that it's not expensive to get to. And, of course, we have some that, you know, you might have to mortgage your house to get to them. But you should go. Listen, go visit. One of the things that we do continually is we're striving to offer all these different types of missions trips to be able appeal to, if that's the wrong word, but to be able to apply to a wide group of people. You know, we've been able to do sports trips and evangelistic trips and children's trips and construction trips two very exciting trips that we have on the horizon that we're looking to do is in June of 2019, we'll be leading a teaching trip, a teaching missions trip to Kosovo. This is going to be, we're looking for teachers who can teach English that can come along on this trip and be able to say, I want to help teach, and using the gospel, using the Bible and using a textbook to be able to teach English in such a way that they can be exposed to the gospel. Looking for teachers that can do that. Not just you know, that's, some people love kids, some people love teaching. We have another one coming in February of 2020 where we're wanting to lead, desiring to put this together, a medical mission trip to Africa. Looking for, you might have some medical experience. Listen, go visit. Don't make it complicated. Provide care, and you can do that by all of these different things and say, you know what, this is what I'm going to do. We're going to do this, we're going to do this, we're going to do this. I can't do all of these things, but you can do one. You can send an email, for goodness sake. Right? You can send something, you can send a message, you can friend them on Facebook, something. You can reach out to them and love on them. Letter B, provide support. We can support the work of ordinary people doing extraordinary things by two really elementary practices, two very fundamental things, supporting them with prayer, praying for the missionary, praying for their kid, praying for the, they're going to tell you what to pray for in their newsletter. Praying for this convert that you just saw saved and praying that they get baptized. Pray for them. Support them financially. Search your budget, give monthly. Get involved in grace giving. Pastor mentioned it a moment ago. We're going to be talking about it. We're going to be letting you know. Listen, what a wonderful thing that whatever you give is working when you're not, and it's just continuing to go. Everything that you do, dollar you give to the kingdom of God, never goes wasted. Letter C, provide encouragement. I told you before, this is going to sound, it's repetitive, but it's not. I want you to pray for their strength and for their affection and for them as you're administering to them. I told you earlier to be praying for them, and you should. And when I talk about providing encouragement for them, this is something that one of our missionaries, Jeff Carney, has done with me and has been for several folks in our staff, is just, he's written out, this is how I'm praying for you. I want you to know that this is what I went to the king on your behalf for. I'm like, wow, how amazing is that? He's a missionary and he's encouraged, I'll just be encouraging you. And I'm like, man, you just encouraged the fire out of me. You just sat down and just wrote, you prayed this for my family? How many times, you know, missionaries say they visit different churches and they're like, they don't even know we're a missionary of theirs. They didn't even know, oh, you have kids? We didn't even know that. We've been supporting you for 15 years. Pray for them. Let them know that you're praying for them. Write out what you said. I've interceded on behalf of the Father for you, and this is how I prayed, and here's the phrases I prayed and the words that I prayed. Encourage them in the word. You know, they need to be reminded of God's faithfulness too. Oh, they already know the Bible better than I do. They need to hear the verses. They need to hear the encouragement. We've all had these seasons, and I've had them too, where I know the verse, but my mind is blank, and I need it. Somebody sends this passage of scripture that I've read 100 times, but it was right when I needed to read that passage again. It's not about whether they already know that verse. Have they mastered it? Chances are no. Send it to them. Encourage them. If there's a passage of scripture, there's a song, something that's, oh, they've heard that song before. If it's ministered to you, pass it along. Encourage them. To help us better accomplish the mission, to dig deeper below the surface by way of this mission, so we're wanting to continue to enhance. We're not wanting. We are going to continue enhancing our missions program and how we are caring for our missionaries and how we're developing missions teams, that we're wanting to divide our teams up into 3 different categories, that we are developing a Jerusalem team, which is our community. We want to bring joy to our community. We've been talking about that, and more on that later at another time. We've got a Jerusalem team, a Judea and Samaria team, which is a church planting team here in the U.S. and the ends of the earth, our missionaries that are abroad, for us to be able to be providing care in these 3 areas. And we're going to talk more about that at another time. But you're like, you know, I want to get involved in a missions team. See me. Say, I want to be involved with that. Let me know. Did you write something in the blank that you can do? I hope you did. The work is unfinished. What's the next play that I have? I mean, it's unfinished. Yeah, that's a big work, Pastor Mike. That's a big work. I mean, man, unfinished. I'll pray about that. I'm going to pray. He's like, no. What am I going to do? Listen, we don't have to do this. Now, God may want you to, but you don't have to do this magnanimous thing. Like, sell your house and live in your van and give your... God's not asking. He might be, he's probably not asking you to do that. He's not asking you, but can't you do something small? Can't you just start and do something? Of course you can. Of course I can, to provide care. Can I give up going out to eat one time a week and give more money to Grace Giving? Of course I can. So can you. Can I turn off the TV and say, you know what, I'm going to sit down tonight and just write letters to the missionaries and connect with them? Can I do that? Of course I can. Of course you can. Can I go on a trip? Can I go on a missions trip? Yes, you can. Don't look at it in an abstract fashion. The work is unfinished and God has a role for you to play. God's called us into a passionate pursuit of missions, calling men out of darkness and into his marvelous light. And this isn't something that some missionary in Africa is supposed to do and you're supposed to pay him to do it. You should be helping him do it, but you should be doing it too. You should be involved in the process. You were made for missions. Jesus said so. You were made for it. So how are you going to involve yourself in furthering the unfinished work of missions? I don't know that. You can do something. You can. Just purpose to do that. Because the truth of the matter is, this is a little straight. But this is the truth. You're either a goer, a supporter, or disobedient. May we be willing to do the necessary groundwork to support our missionaries and care for them. May we be a Gaius church that is thriving spiritually, living authentically, and giving generously. May we find the role that we need to play that's unfinished and say, put me in, coach. Put me in.
Thank you again for listening to this audio sermon. We pray that it has been a blessing to you. For more sermons or if you have any questions, log on to www.fbcbelong.com.